You may be seated. Well, we've been going through a series called The Compassionate and Gracious God. And through this sermon series, we've been going over the Minor Prophets. That's the last 12 books of the Old Testament. And it's been a really, really wonderful summer to be able to go through all the Minor Prophets. And actually today, we're on our last sermon for this series. We've been going through all these different books of the Minor Prophets, and I don't know if you're able to see all this wording, but I just crammed it all in there just to show you that we've gone through it all. And the last one there is a summary about Malachi, and it's remember the law, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And as we jump into the book of Malachi, I want to remind us that sorry, I think the slides are in different order. We're gonna be looking at Malachi today. Oh, I know why. I'm sorry. All right, so I wanted to show this verse to you guys just as a way of concluding our last the sermon, the series. I just want to remind us why we call it the Compassionate and Gracious God, because a lot of the books in these Minor Prophets were referring to this very verse. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 through 7, where God is describing who he is himself. And so let me just read this for us. It says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. The sermon series was called The Compassionate and Gracious God. Even though there were a lot of statements of judgment, even though there are a lot of statements of pointing out people's sins, but what we find over and over, all throughout the Minor Prophet books, is that our God is a God who is compassionate and gracious. And as we finish up this sermon series, I want to finish up with what Malachi says, and that is to remember. And so today we're going to be looking at the very last chapter, the whole chapter of Malachi, and this is the last chapter according to the order of our version of the Old Testament. It's the last book of the Old Testament, and I say that because the Jewish Old Testament has a different order. But it's the last chapter of the prophetic books. And this is the last chapter before, in our Bibles, before it jumps into the New Testament. And so I think it's just very, very fitting. And I do hope, and I have prayed that the Lord would be speaking to you through the sermon today. And so why don't we turn our Bibles to Malachi chapter 4. And again, all you have to do is turn to the New Testament and just slowly go backwards towards the Old Testament, and you'll eventually find Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, and we're going to read the whole chapter, starting in verse 1. This is the reading of God's word. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who hear my For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet, on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Amen. Have you ever said yourself, or have you ever heard someone say, I'm just human? You might hear these words when someone points out some kind of wrong about yourself, or when someone says, you know, I've told you so many times, you need to change. Or maybe you've said this to someone else and they respond by saying, I'm not God. I'm just human. I'm not Jesus. I'm just human. Well, we've heard from the previous verse in Exodus that God is a God who does not leave the guilty unpunished. And sometimes when we say this phrase, we say it because we're trying to get away from this feeling of guilt. When someone points out you're wrong and you say, well, you know, I can't help it. I'm not God. I'm not perfect. I'm just a human. And we say this just to say, you know, there's a reason why I keep falling into this. And we want to divert the attention away from this feeling of guilt that you might have. But the fact is that we constantly fail. And you know, there's no way for us to live that perfect life. And we see over and over again that even though we know, or we may have a sense of what's right from wrong, but we find ourselves continually falling into sin and failing. And so, for Christians, for those of you that call yourselves Christians, or maybe you're not a Christian, but you're thinking, I want to do my best to live a good life and do what's right. How do you do that? Well, according to Scripture, the answer is, and this is our main idea for today, remember the law. Remember the law. We're gonna talk about this. I know that for some of you that are Christians and maybe you know a little bit more about the book of Romans, and you might hear this and you might think, oh, that doesn't sound quite right. But let's talk about this idea, because this is what Malachi actually says. Remember the law. Remember, and this is in verse 4. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Remember the law. And the 3 points today are remember the law, remember the Lord, and remember the love. So once again, the main idea for today, the main command for today is to remember the law. And our 3 points are remember the law, remember the Lord, and remember the love. So let's talk about this. The first point, remember the law. The setting of Malachi is, you know, it's at the very end. I showed you guys this slide earlier. Let me just pull it up real quick. This slide earlier where Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, in terms of history, the first section where it says creation and fall from Hosea to Micah they have themes and ideas where they're pointing to situations where it's before the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Israel and Judah, before they're judged and taken off and conquered. And then the middle section, Nahum to Zephaniah, is where they're actually taken into exile. And then the last section is where people are brought back into the promised land. And so as they're brought back into the promised land, this is where, this is during the time when Malachi is written. And so just imagine, the people went into exile because of their sin. God has told them over and over again, you are in sin, and that's why you will be punished. And your sin will be dealt with as you go into exile. But there's this promise that I will bring you back into the promised land. And that's where the people are, and the people are brought back into the promised land, and they start building the temple, and they start building the city of Jerusalem again. And this is the setting of the book of Malachi. Now, it's interesting, because you would expect that if the people knew of their history and they fell into sin and they knew that they were judged by God and they were taken into exile and they were conquered by other nations because of their sin, if they knew about this, then when they came into back to the promised land, that perhaps they might remember what happened and they would strive to not fall into sin again. But that's not what happens. What we find in Malachi and what we find in other books like Ezra and Nehemiah is that even when they come back into the promised land after their exile, the people fall into sin over and over again. What was the problem? Why did they continue to keep falling into sin? Well, the reason is that they had forgotten the law. They had forgotten God's ways. And that's why when we look at the very beginning of our passage today, and we've seen this all throughout the minor prophets, there is a pronouncement of the day of the Lord. So in verse 1 it says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble." There's this pronouncement that God will come and there will be judgment for everyone that falls into sin, that does not follow God's ways, that does not follow God's law. But it also says that for those that are God's people, for those that are righteous, and specifically here in Malachi it says, for those that fear my name, those that fear my name and start to think, well, God is a powerful God and I don't want to fall into judgment, I should be striving to follow God's law. For those people that are striving after God, these people will be healed and saved. And so as we even look at the beginning of our passage today, some of you might be thinking, how do I know if I'm the person that's wicked and that's going to be judged and be burned up, or if I'm the person that's righteous and will be saved? How do I know? Well, last week we looked at Zechariah, where the book was filled with encouragements. Zechariah was filled with all kinds of encouragements. But Malachi is actually filled with all kinds of accusations by God. How do you know if you're of the wicked or if you're of the righteous? Well, what's interesting is that in Malachi, it seems through all the different accusations, it seems that Malachi is pointing to all the different commandments, the Ten Commandments. You know, when it says in verse 4, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel," it's talking about how Moses brought the Ten Commandments to the people. And as you look at all the different accusations in Malachi, it seems like it's pointing to these different commandments. Now, some commandments, it's for some verses here in Malachi, it's more clear that it's pointing to a particular command. For other accusations, it's not as clear, and you have to think about it a little bit more to see how it points to a particular command. Well, I wanted to help you guys out a little bit, and I just kind of listed it all out here for you guys. All throughout the book of Malachi, there are these sections where the people say, and God says, "But you will say," and it gives people, it gives the audience this understanding of, this is how the people would have responded to God when God points out their sin. And so these are all the different things. Let me just read it out real quick. God says, "But you will say, how have you loved us, God? Or, but you will say, how have we despised your name, God? Or, but you will say, how have we polluted you, God? But you will say, what a weariness this is to try to follow your ways. But you will say, why does he not accept our offering? But you will say, how have we wearied you, God? But you will say, okay, how shall we return to you, God? But you will say, how have we robbed you, God? But you will say, how have we spoken against you?" And what I put here are on the left side are all the verses where it has these statements. But on the right side, I put commandment number one. This particular accusation and this particular response has to do with commandments number 1 and 2, commandments 3 through 5, 4, 6. If you look down the list, all the commandments are referenced. And so let's go through this list once again. And I want you to think through, have I ever responded like this to God? Have I ever responded like this? Maybe I didn't say it directly to God, but I responded with this type of complaint in my heart. Okay? So I'm going to go through this list again, and I'm going to follow up with a similar type of question, and I want you to think through, have I asked this type of question before? All right, so the first one. But you say, how have you loved us? Have you ever said, does God love me? Doesn't feel like it. Does God love me? Or, but you say, how have we despised your name? Have you ever asked, how am I sinning? I don't think I have sinned in this situation. But you say, how have we polluted you? Have you ever said, well, at least I'm going to church, aren't I? At least I'm doing these good things and giving to the poor, doing all these things. And that particular one is about how the people would bring their offerings, but they bring polluted offerings and they bring unclean offerings, things that aren't their best. That's what that one's talking about. Have you ever said, well, at least I'm going to church, aren't I? At least I'm praying, I mean, before my meals, maybe. Aren't I? I'm doing these good things, aren't I? But you say, what a weariness this is. Have you ever said, it's too hard to be a Christian? Or maybe you might have said, I'm tired of trying to give it my all to church. Just tired. It's not listed here, but chapter 2, it has all these judgments against priests, against those people that are supposed to be leaders, that are supposed to be teaching and guiding people to obey God's laws. And there's a whole section in chapter 2 about that. But chapter 2, verse 14 goes on to say, but you say, why does he not? And the idea is, why does he not accept our offerings? And so have you ever said, I'm praying and reading the Bible, why isn't God blessing me? Why isn't God answering my prayers? I think I'm being faithful. God, where are you? Or have you ever thought, and this one, you know, specifically, why does he not accept our offerings? God goes on to say, you know, the reason why I'm not accepting your offerings is because you're bringing your offerings, but you're being unfaithful to your spouse. You're coming into the service here, but you are not being faithful to your companion that you have a relationship with, that you have a covenant with. You're not working to build up your marriages. And so have you ever said or thought, I want a divorce. I don't care about my spouse. I hate my spouse. Next one, chapter 2, verse 17. But you say, how have we wearied him? Have you ever said, where is the God of justice? I just don't know if God will make things right. Or the next one, how shall we return? And this one's tied with the next one. How have we robbed you? So basically they say, you need to return to me. God says, you need to return to me. And they say, how are we supposed to return to you? We don't know what it means to repent. And then God responds by saying, well, the way to return to me is by not robbing me anymore. Again, it's tied to the next one. And then they respond by saying, how have we robbed you? God goes on to say in those verses, you are not bringing your tithe and your offering. You're not bringing in your offerings to the church. You're not bringing in your sacrifices, what you're supposed to be giving to the temple. Yeah, I'm mixing situations right now, but this is the idea. God is saying to the people back then, you're not bringing in your tithes and your offerings, and so you're robbing me. And so have you ever thought, well, I'll give some offering. Okay, maybe you are giving offering, but have you ever thought, you know, I'll give some offering, but this is my money. And I'm giving what I've earned. And I'm doing the church a favor by giving some money to the church. It's my money, though. Have you ever thought in this way? Lastly, but you say, how have we spoken against you? And so have you ever said, it's useless to serve in the church. There's no thanks or appreciation. I've given so much to the church, but there's no gratitude, no expression of gratitude. Or have you ever said, it's those people who are bad or who know nothing that seem to get all the recognition? Okay. If you were to go back and look at each of these things, what you'll find is, you know, it's like God saying, you've done something wrong. This is where you're not keeping the commandment. You're not remembering my laws. And the people are all responding with, what, God? What, how are we sinning against you? We don't understand. And so just as we think about these ideas, what we find is that oh, a slide is missing. Okay, well, some key observations is that they were breaking God's law. Obviously, they were breaking God's law. But it's either that they didn't know. They really didn't know. And they're like, God, we don't know what you mean. We don't know how we're breaking your law because maybe it's the priest's fault. Maybe the priest wasn't teaching the people what was right from wrong. Maybe the priests weren't teaching the people God's laws. But it could also be a different kind of situation where people know about God's laws and they have an idea of what God's law is, but then they're responding saying, well, yeah, but I'm just human. I can't, you know, always be keeping this law. Right, God? I mean, I'm just human. Well, as we think about the law, I just want to quickly go over this point here where, because in Malachi it does say, remember the law. And what is this law about? The law is something that's good. And I put these verses here just to give you guys reference where it does talk about how the law is good. But also the law reflects God's character. And so when we keep God's law, we're saying, yes, this is who God is, and this is why I want to keep God's law. But when we don't follow God's law, what it does is that it actually reveals our sin. When we look at God's law and we look at it carefully and we see that we fail over and over again, what it does is that it shows our sin. And for Christians, even though we do talk about how we're freed from the law of sin and death, but actually the Ten Commandments is still a way that teaches us this is what God is like. This is what God desires. And it guides us now and it shows us how we can live for the Lord, how we can live as Christians. And so what you'll find that's interesting is that all of these, except for the first one, all of these are verses from Romans. And all of these are ideas that are supported in the book of Romans. And so, if the law is good, and we're called to remember the law, just like Malachi says, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. And we find that we're falling and we're failing all the time. What do we do? Next point is to remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Now, this may be an idea that may make you think, all right, we get to hear how God is a compassionate and gracious God. I don't want to jump there just yet. I want to remember the idea that God is a God who does not leave the guilty unpunished. We cannot just jump so quickly to the gospel. We have to take some time to meditate on our own sin and remember that what this verse says. It says, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. God is going to come with judgment. And it's important for us to know that when we look at the law, that God's law is a holy law, and it shows us that God is a holy God. He hates sin. He hates the fact that you do keep falling into sin. It's something where whenever we do fall into sin, we're choosing to love ourselves more than to love God. And so it's actually important that we remember that we deserve punishment. And if we think about the story in the New Testament, some of you guys may know the story about Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira is one story where it shows how holy God is and how if God acts in the moment when we sin, what's going to happen. And so for those of you that aren't familiar with the story of Ananias and Sapphira, the church was growing at that time in the New Testament, in the time of Acts. That's about 2,000 years ago, just after the time of Jesus. And after about 100 or days or so after Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. It was soon after the time that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And all these people, the church was growing, and all these people were coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what ended up happening was that there was a guy named Barnabas who ended up selling all his property because he loved the Lord and he loved God's people and he wanted to help all the poor among those that were in the church. And so he sold his property and he gave all the proceeds to the church. But there was Ananias and Sapphira who said, oh, we want to do something similar too. And it sounded like a noble idea where they sold their property, but then instead of giving all the proceeds, they said, you know, they set aside a portion that they received, and they said, when they gave it, they said, this is what the property cost, and we're giving this to the church. It seems like they wanted to promote themselves. They wanted to do this for their own glory. And Peter approaches them and says, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? You're wanting to do something good, not for God, not for His people, but you're actually doing something good for yourself. You've lied. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. And because of this, you are going to die this day. This is what I'm wanting to point to. The seriousness of our sin is that at any moment, God can punish you and strike you dead. And you deserve that. You deserve to be stricken dead in this moment. The only reason why God may continue to just let you live on is because it's His grace. It's His patience. He's actually allowing you time to return back to Him, to continue to confess your sin, to be honest before God and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Remember that the Lord is a holy God, a God who is jealous. He wants you to have a relationship with Him and not with these other idols in your life. It's so sad to think about how the people of that time, even though they experienced judgment and they went into exile, and God brought them back into the promised land, but yet still they fall into sin. It's like this whole Old Testament is written to talk about how people, how humankind, no matter how much God calls to the people, that people continue to fall into sin. But this is necessary. it was necessary for God to continue to point out that no matter how hard we try, we will fall into sin. The relationship between the gospel and the law is that the law allows us to see our sin, and that's what leads us to have this opportunity to turn to the Lord and admit, I am a sinner. And that's when we begin to appreciate the gospel. If you have the gospel, but you don't have God's holiness and His wrath, then that gospel is cheapened. That gospel means nothing. That gospel, as Stephen Lawson says, and usually I don't quote from people that are from other people, but this was a good quote that I found. Grace, God's grace, and we're talking about the gospel here. Grace is not amazing until you know the wrath of God. Until you come to understand that God's wrath is for you. Until you realize that you are deserving of God's wrath. Until you do, the gospel will not have an impact on your life. Now, I want to admit at this point that I myself often forget about God's law. And the way that I forget about God's law is that, you know, like I'm taking credit all the time. I'm not saying God is the only God, like the first commandment says, but I say, no, I deserve some credit for what I accomplished. I'm in control of my life. I will never say this, but through my actions, through my thoughts, what I'm proclaiming is that I am God. I'm in control of my life. Or there are times that I am parenting my children and I completely forget about God's ways. It's not that I forgot. It's just in that moment, I ignore God's ways and I want to handle things with my kids in my way. And so I'm going to yell and I'm going to get so angry with my kids. Because I think that if I can just show them how painful it is to see them do this and how much it offends me when they do this, I think that if I can just get them to listen, then somehow it will bring about some kind of good. And I forget about God's ways. Whatever situation that you're facing, maybe it's with work, maybe it's with your spouse, maybe it's with your neighbors. Maybe it's just your own thoughts about yourself. Maybe it's how you deal with your money. Maybe it's how you deal with internet pornography or just having lustful thoughts. For women, for sisters, maybe it's not necessarily lustful thoughts, but it's these thoughts of jealousy. Why can't I have that? Why can't I have this? Why can't my life be better? And when we think about our lives, a lot of times, and this is me too, I forget about who God is, I forget about His law, and I choose to follow my ways, my law, what I think is good, what I grew up with, what my culture says, not necessarily what God says. And when we think about it in this way, when I think about it in this way, I can actually adjust my wording and not say, I'm just human, but rather say, it's because I'm a selfish human being. I'm an arrogant human being. I'm a prideful human. I'm a sick human being. And this is where the good news comes in. This is where it does not stop with just the Old Testament, but it goes on to the New Testament. This is where God begins to say, I know that you are sick and prideful and arrogant. I know that you are all these things, and I know that you will never turn to me. And that's why I will do something for you. I will come to rescue you. I will come to heal you. And this is where we come to our last point. Remember the love. We want to first remember that God does have His law, and that He is the holy God, and He is the God that does not leave the guilty unpunished. He will punish those people that are guilty. But also, God is a God of compassion and grace. God is a God that maintains love to thousands. God is a God that forgives your sin. Remember love. God did not just leave this book closing with these words, remember the law. The Old Testament does not finish with, remember the law. But the Old Testament finishes, Malachi finishes, the prophetic books finish with, verse 5 and 6, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. I will punish the guilty. I will do it, but I will prevent myself from utterly destroying all these people because I love my people so much, and I will give this promise that I will send Elijah. And even in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And we know that God gives this promise to remind all of you today that even if you are in your sin, even if you feel like you're not able to conquer this sin that you're struggling with, to remind you that God has done something, God is doing something, God will give you this hope that He is working in your life to change you, to grow you, to show you that there is hope. He will not leave you alone, but God will work in your life to bring you hope and joy and peace. And so we know from the New Testament that this promise points to John the Baptist. Matthew 11 says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah. And what John the Baptist did was that he prepared the way. He was the one that was calling people, remember the law. Remember that you are a sinner. Remember that you need the Lord. Come to the Lord and acknowledge your sin and repent before God and show that you are hopeless without God. Come and return back to the Lord so that when Jesus arrived, that people would begin to receive Jesus. Jesus, as it says here in Malachi 4:2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, this is talking about Jesus, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping with like calves from the stall, not with, but like calves. It says, the Son of Righteousness. Now, I'm not saying that you need to change the U into an O and talk about the Son of Righteousness. But the Bible, in different parts of Scripture, it talks about how God is like the sun that's burning, that's blazing. And God will come to burn up all those that are wicked. But at the same time, God will purify, like how gold is purified in the flame. God will come and purify His people. The Son of Righteousness will rise and it will heal all of God's people. And the way that this happens is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and who died for your sins out of his love for you. And so you can know that you are forgiven if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ came, he died and rose again, we have this promise that we can hold on to. If you are a Christian, hold on to this promise, because this is what's going to bring you hope over and over again. It says in Ezekiel 11, "And I will give them one heart, a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Not only did God take the initiative to send Jesus Christ to save you and to forgive you of your sins, but even God, even now, takes the initiative to continue to work in you by the Spirit that he has given you in your heart. The Holy Spirit that is in you, Christian, God is working in you to give you a heart of flesh, to be convicted by the sin that you have, and the Spirit will continue to work in you so that you will begin to walk in his ways according to his statutes and his laws. And God is working in you to want to and to begin to obey the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, remember, without Jesus, I will continue to fail. This is a fact. But with Jesus, I will begin to see victory. With Jesus, I begin to experience God's love. With Jesus, I will begin to want to follow the law. With Jesus, I'm okay even if I fail, because I know that my sins are forgiven. With Jesus, I know that the Holy Spirit is in me. And with Jesus, the Spirit gives me the desire to follow God's law. This is the wonderful news that God has given to us, that if you put your hope in Jesus Christ and trust what he has done for you, then these are the kinds of changes that you will begin to see in your life. You will see this kind of fruit. And so remember the law, everyone. Even if you're not a Christian, look at this list here. These are the Ten Commandments. Remember the law. And realize that you're not able to obey this without Jesus Christ. But as you do begin to put your hope in Jesus, remember that all of these laws, you will be able to begin to want to follow these, and you will begin to be able to obey these commands. We will forget, but the Spirit is working in you to cause you to remember. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for this wonderful truth, that the Old Testament did not end just with follow the law or remember the law. But Lord, it ended with a hope that you are doing your wonderful work to save us, to give us hope, that we don't have to feel shame or guilt, but to know that you are working in our lives, not only to save us from our sin, but to continue to draw us closer to you, that we would remember and obey your law. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll be working